Blog Talk Radio.
All right, mic'd up. Someone's got to tell me we're back, guys. Please, thank you very much. Now I got a reverb. I lost it again. Are we on the radio or not? Sal, are we on in New York? Sal? Are we on the air or not? Are we on the radio too or not? Can someone tell me? Sal, now I got reverb.
Eddie, my board here is all screwed. You got to fix it. It's not working at all. So you got to kind of piece it together here. You can fool around with it, I don't know what that means. Some kind of hieroglyphics I'm not familiar with.
We're not talking about the Yankees. Gaga, gaga, gaga. What is his behavior? Gaga, gaga, gaga. I didn't ask you that. Goes gaga.
Can you stop yelling at me?
None. None. Zero. He's done it never.
You gotta stop talking. Let me think for a second. I can't think if you're talking.
No, I don't want you to say anything.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I'm not going to listen to anymore. Bye.
Cut him off. I don't want to hear anything.
Well, let's both talk at the same time. Because it works real good. It sounds great on the radio, okay? Let's just both talk at the same time. It sounds great.
If you don't set it up. From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City. Brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Well, what happened to the Sal Licata show? The great experience that we've been told about on the Twitter and throughout Carnation and creation. This guy says, oh, I'm going to have SalLicataRadio.com. It's going to be sick. Oh, yeah. Listen in. So we listen in the day after Labor Day, September 7th, which is plastered all over the Internet. And what do we get? We get nothing. As we welcome you to another edition of the Dave in the City podcast for a Wednesday night live and local tonight. Not really local, but it's the MikeFrancesa.com edition, featuring yours truly, Dave Medina, and joining us for the moment, our friend from WFAN, Andy in Seattle. He's here in the city joining us tonight. How are you doing, Andy? What's new with you?
Oh, nothing too much. Looking forward to this live show scenario. It's a Wednesday night, just being a degenerate, gambling on some baseball, looking forward to the football in the next couple days, and, you know, just trying to pass the night, having some entertainment, and, what the heck is Sal Licata's deal? What a clown.
It's insane, is it not? And later in the show, in fact, probably in 5 minutes, because I told him to do this, we'll be also joined by Tom in Jersey, Mr. Tom Kier himself from TheMikeFrancesa.com. Who we will not be joined by tonight or at any night for the rest of the week is Sal Licata. And I just can't believe that he would put all this hubbub over this and there'd be no show. I mean, we came in, we were looking for an alternative to the midday show on FAN, and we get nothing. Isn't that something?
You know, on the board, we have an interesting culture, and I never heard of Evan Roberts or Sal Licata. I had heard the name Joe Benigno before, but, you know, coming from Boston, living in Seattle, I only listened to WFAN because of Dup in the Mad Dog. And my opinion of Evan Roberts was formed by all the valuable posts and opinions of the members on the board. And all I hear is Evan sucks. Evan is atrocious. He squeaks. He talks like a clown. There was even, like, a thread dedicated to the reason why he sucked. And I was like, geez, these guys actually know what they're talking about. I'm going to try listening to him. And I gave him, you know, listened to him for about 10 minutes, turned it off. I said, you know what? All these guys are 100% correct. He is unlistenable. So you are 100% correct. Anybody could go up against his time slot and win over whatever audience he has. And for Licata to just say, oh, September 7th is going to be sick, living out of mommy's basement, and to not have the show on September 7th or September 8th is terrible. It's not a restaurant. Every restaurant seems to open later than advertised. for the right reasons. You can't get the work permit, trying to get your alcohol license, staffing issues. Those are all tangible, pragmatic reasons. But for Licata to not get some sort of website, GoDaddy.com, whatever it may be, up and running, I mean, that's this, he's already behind the eight ball.
Yeah, no question about that, Andy. And now, also joining us here on the program, and it's my fault that he's late. I told him to call at this time. He's here. It's Tom in Jersey. Tom, welcome in, and welcome to me and Andy on the program. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Dave. What's up, clown?
Well,
hey, Tommy. What up?
How much, dude? How you be? I'm sorry.
You know.
Hey, how you be? You're just chilling. You're like a pro at this now. This is what, like your eighth podcast? Second one today?
Well, the live, as far as live ones, yeah, probably this is like my eighth show. I've done this show since late 2008, but that was when I had no audience. I was talking to a wall. Now I have actual people listening to the thing, so it's nice. It's good to be around actual audiences. What's new with, come again?
Not much. Let me talk, all right? Let me talk, Dave. So, as I was saying, I said, are we going to follow RD's lead and, like, talk about all-time great, like, Giant players? This time it said Dodger players.
Come on, man. That is cold-blooded.
RD loves it. I don't think he's listening. Is Rosh Hashanah tonight or tomorrow?
It's tonight. I already made the call for the granddad and folks in my family still celebrate it. L'Shana Tova to the Jewish listeners in the mix.
Yeah. It's a bad job by you. Shouldn't you be, like, laying a candle or something? I don't know what you're supposed to be doing.
No, get your holidays out. In fact, no candles. No candles.
Is that Passover?
That'd be Hanukkah.
Okay. All right, the eight candles. Gotcha.
I'm really trying hard not to just completely lose it and start laughing the whole show. By the way, this is Tommy, if you haven't already heard. This is Andy from Seattle. And the subject right now is Sal Licata. I mean, the three of us are putting together a show. Us three clowns can put together a simple little podcast. Why is it so hard for one Sal Licata, who apparently has radio experience under the illustrious Mike Francesa? What's the deal?
I have no idea. I have no clue about this whole Sal thing. Now tell me this. Is he trying to get his own little podcast, or is he actually going to be on the air somewhere?
Andy?
To the best of my knowledge, and I'm just going by his little dopey Twitter, and he actually had a live show 2 weeks ago where he alluded to a show every day in the 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. East Coast time slot. There'd be guests in the mix, the Sal special Friday afternoons, you know, with his college and NFL gambling, hypothetical gambling scenario. And obviously he's 2 days late. So I'm not sure what he's trying to do. Is he trying to have a realistic equivalent to the Joe and Evan Roberts show and trying to get, you know, respectable guests, whether it be athletes or front office people from New York sports teams, or is he just going to have some fun with it? Is he in limbo? Either way, he's just a clown for not having a show at this point.
I agree too. Is he going to be? Do you think Big Mike's going to call in or no? Is he just going to hand wave?
No chance. No way he'll call in.
And is Sal's special only going to be one pick and for about 10 seconds, like it usually is, or is it going to be actually like 20 minutes?
I'm sure he'll get more airtime. It's his show at this point.
I know, but he should make this Sal special only like 10 seconds, like it usually is. All right, Mike, real quick. All right, we're done, Sal. We're done. That's pretty much how it goes.
Yep. This is Dave in the City on Lost Oblique Radio featuring Andy and Tom tonight on the show. You know, we've been trying to get the two of you together on the show for a while. It's good that we finally got it. I know Sal's deal is kind of his thing. But you guys make picks yourselves, and I know that Andy, for example, is on the Football Pick'em podcast at footballpick'em.podbean.com. Let me know if I got that right. With Cheddar on the Cheddar. Yeah. And a whole cast of characters. Well, you see that the NFL week is coming up. You've got the Vikings and the Saints coming up. How do you both see the game?
Go ahead, Andy.
Oh,
I said go ahead.
Tomorrow. Yeah, calm down. Well, I didn't pick that game. I'll probably end up taking not Green Bay. Spit it out. New Orleans,
no.
Because I don't have the book. Maybe you could get it for me. It seems that every time the season starts, the defending Super Bowl championship just happens to take care of business. Whether it was New England killing Oakland 5 years ago, and I think old man Favre isn't going to be ready. As usual, he always does his drama, shows up to training camp late. The receivers are all banged up, and, you know, New Orleans is going to be rocking and rolling. So it sounds actually too easy to be, too good to be true, but I'll probably be a Mongo and take the Saints, give them 5.5, and they'll win by 4.
I agree with you. I think the Saints are going to win, but I think it's going to be a lot closer. But I think they'll cover the spread still. I think if the Saints get off to a very good start, the Saints are probably going to get off to a very good start, and if the Vikings sustain that through the first half, I think the Vikings have a shot. Otherwise, no. The first quarter, if like, the Saints are up 17-0, obviously it's going to be over, but I think the first half is going to tell the story of the game. I could see Adrian Peterson having a field day running the ball, though, because I don't think they're going to have Favre throw that much, so. Depends if they put 8 in the box, as Mike always says. If they're not putting 8 in the box, I think Peterson's going to have a really good day, fantasy-wise. We'll see, though.
That's Tom in Jersey. You also heard Andy in Seattle. I'm Dave Medina, and this is Dave in the City on Lost of Week Radio. My pick for the game, I'm picking the Saints to cover this thing pretty candidly. I just feel like it's their first home game. They're celebrating their championship, so I'm going with intangibles here. I'm going to take the Saints, and I don't know, they'll cover that thing pretty nicely. Maybe they'll win by touchdown. It will be closer than I expect, but I still think they'll cover the spread, lay the points, take the Saints.
The one thing is that in the playoff last year, didn't the Vikings have over double as many yardage as the Saints? And I feel as if no one has given the Vikings a chance in this game. When if you look at last year, the Vikings just ran it down the Saints' throats throughout the entire game. If it weren't for the turnovers, the Vikings would have won by at least 10 points, you know?
Yeah, that was a weird game. Turnovers left and right. I was on the short end of that stick, too, because I had the Saints. They didn't cover. That was a weird game.
Yeah, and did you hear Peterson's talking about how he's got a new way of not allowing the fumbles this year? He's like, I heard on SportsCenter, something about the way he's going to put his hand down or something. He's going to be doing something different this year to try and avoid the fumbles, but we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah,
turnovers definitely were a big factor, I think, in both the Saints' execution on defense as a whole and as in the game, too. Turnovers essentially decided the game in the NFC Championship game, so it could be a good year. I mean, I can't honestly say whether this is going to be a barometer for the rest of the season, but it should be a fun and spirited event. All right, so we're here in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. Not time for a break yet. We're only 14 in, but the NFL as a whole looks like a lot of fun. I mean, I can feel the anticipation on the board. I mean, do you feel it yourself? Do you see that there's a lot of excitement for the NFL, maybe more than in years past?
I just want to talk about fantasy football. Everybody on the board loves fantasy football. You know, the whole board is just dominated by fantasy football conversations from newbies to veterans, and it's great. Whether it's a mock draft, auction draft, people comparing lineups, it's the best. It's the new way to watch football, if you ask me. Fantasy football. If you're not into fantasy football, well, I can't help you.
You being sarcastic?
I don't
know. Are you trying to take a shot at me for liking fantasy football? Are you being that big of a clown right now?
No, I have seen myself.
You are the worst fantasy football player I've ever seen. Let's be fair. You're good at fantasy baseball, but when it comes to fantasy football, you're a clown. Just look at your last two drafts.
Last, did I didn't play in a league last year. I don't know if there's a MikeMancesta.com league.
No, but I you've told me about your other leagues and how bad you've done. And look at your draft in our, my league this past week. It's atrocious.
I went 7-6 last year. That's ordinary. I don't, as long as I don't finish in the basement. It's got, you got a lot of, like, smart cookies in the in your league. Benson and DiCaprio are going to be pretty tough. I'm not, I think I'm in their division.
I'm worried about PNC.
Has a really good team.
Yeah, I'm worried about PNC. Rabbit. I'm worried about Rabbit.
Your team's got good receivers, but
all I have is wide receivers in this league. I'm starting Matthew Stafford. I think that's code for disaster. I don't think I'm going to be doing that great this year. I was surprised at how well everybody was picking. And I'm a little upset that we couldn't get 12 people to pay, but I'm glad that we got 12 people in the league still, thanks to Umberto's, who did an amazing job. And Ben Big Spock, who always does a great job.
Sorry to interrupt, Tommy, but we have another caller on the line. Let's bring him in, too, so this is going to be quite fun. We're going to have four guys on at the same time. Okay.
Have the fourth time.
Yes, indeed. All right, let's get this guy on. Hang on just a sec here. Okay, caller, you're in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. Who's this?
This is Johnny Connecticut.
Oh, we got Checker in the mix.
Checker on the Checker. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
Doing well. Congratulations on the new show. We're glad to have it on. It sounds great so far.
Oh, thank you. I'm still trying to work out the kinks with, you know, the music scenario and everything else, but we're having a lot of fun doing it, and so far so good.
Yeah, I mean it's a great roundtable. I've said that before, and I like how it just gets right to the teeth with the predictions. And I understand you've done another show, so I can't wait to listen to it. Your thoughts on week one, your thoughts on tomorrow night, what do you think?
Well, obviously I'm biased. I hope Brett Favre gets hit and hit some more. And I mean, that's pretty much all I have to say about it. I hope the Saints finish the job they started last season in the NFC title game. I'll be pulling for the Saints, and I don't see any reason why they shouldn't win the game. Maybe Favre will have some of his old man magic tomorrow night, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean,
the old
with
man
on the
magic
road,
of just chucking the ball up.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead, Dave.
All right. Well, this is Dave in the city. We're joined by John Wood. That'd be John in Connecticut. And with us, of course, Tom in Jersey, Andy in Seattle. Hopefully you got all the names straight. I'm Dave Medina, and football's the name of the game. And by the way, John, did you hear about, I mean, are you also kind of disappointed about Salicata's show or non-show that basically didn't show up? It's kind of bizarre.
I'm so busy these days, I could care less what he's doing, to be honest.
That's fair. That's a fair point. Fair point. I mean, obviously, there's enough going on in the world where a little guy, an intern show is not obviously going to be on the radar, so no worries there. John, all right. If you care to hang around with us, feel free. Otherwise, good to have you aboard. We were talking about week one. What other games actually catch your eye on the schedule this week? Obviously, there are many. There's a lot of good matchups. And just in terms of entertainment value, what sounds good to all of you?
Giants-Carolina does not sound like a watchable game. And I'm a huge Giants fan, and I'm not looking forward to watching that game. I expect it to be an ugly game. Very ugly, in fact. I have both Steve Smiths going in that game, fantasy-wise, and I'm really worried now. I just can't see it. I can't see it being more than maybe 17-10. No more than that, you know.
Well, Tom, you'll be happy to know that we just finished up our podcast a little while ago, and Justin in Long Island, you guys know him as Glendale, he actually picked the Giants to win and cover the spread this weekend, so you guys got that going for you.
Nice. So that means they're definitely going to lose.
Right, pretty much.
Glendale needs to join the board, and it's going to happen one of these days. If not, then that's just disappointing. But anyway, you mentioned the week's games. I think every game, for the most part, is very intriguing. Even teams that have been historically atrocious, like Kansas City, St. Louis the past 2 years, Detroit the past couple of years, Oakland past 5 to 7 years. A lot of the respective fan bases are all, you know, they're giddy and they're being somewhat objective about it, and they actually have every fair reason to be objective about it, because all those teams should be pretty excited to watch. I think the one team or the one game that's pretty bad is Cleveland-Tampa. And we play these hypothetical games on the board. They're really fun. And it's like, would you, A, like if Cleveland and Tampa showed up in your backyard to play a game of football, would you, A, watch, B, ignore, or C, tell them to get off your lawn? What would you guys do?
I would go the V-tread route. Tell them to get off my lawn.
It's a bad game.
Well, week one, I mean, I could pretty much get into any two teams playing week one, but if that game's, you know, week nine and they're both 1-8, I would rather watch just about anything than that game. But week one, I can see it. In fact, Sal tweeted, I believe, last week that I think it was he's taking the Browns as his lock of week number one. So take that for what you will.
Why would you even, like, Twitter about that game? Of all the games that he has to pick, he picks that game. This is how clueless Sal is.
No, if you had the book on the 2009 Cleveland Browns, they actually ended the season well, but that you still can't. First week of the year, putting all your money on the Cleveland Browns, that's bad.
I said back to him, I Twittered back, I said, Sal, why would you bet a game between two terrible, unpredictable teams? And, I mean, that's pretty much how it is.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah, I can't get over that. I mean, it's going to force you to watch a really terrible football game. And, again, to answer your question, I'd also pick C. Get off my lawn. I mean, I got better things to do, and there's a lot of good games on. No question.
Now, I'm being kind of a mongo, but isn't in New York, in New York market, isn't there only, there's no games on, right, unless you have the ticket because of the U.S. Open. Is that right or no? Or is that just CBS, right? Game on Fox?
Yeah, you should get two games on Fox. You should be able to watch my Packers destroy the Eagles at 4:15.
Ooh. True story.
Calling
now,
the shot here.
I was going to say something, but go ahead.
All I'm going to say right now is that this is Dave in the City on Lots of League Radio, joined by John Wood, Tom in Jersey, and Andy in Seattle today, talking week one and the NFL and the misgivings of Sal Licata as well on the board. Feel free to chat with us tonight. We're at blogtalkradio.com/DaveInTheCity. Your phone number is 424-258-9251. Come and join the party. One other game that's obviously caught my eye, besides all of the obvious ones, is the Jets and the Ravens. And I got a feeling that the Ravens may actually have a chance to cover, to take the points on this one. It's not a very big spread, but I feel like the Ravens can either take the points or win outright. What do you guys think?
I've gone back and forth in this game with Andy about 10 times, and Andy can agree, take me for that, because I've definitely just gone back and forth. My latest prediction is that the Ravens are going to win. Honestly, I've been talking about my uncle of late. I don't think Revis should be starting the game. I think it's too much of a risk that he's going to get hurt. He should at least take the first half off, see how the team's doing. If they need to play him, play him. Otherwise, keep him on the bench, you know? And Sanchez, he'll be fine, but I think Flacco's just going to have a huge game. He's got a huge arm. He's got the receivers now. And he'll dump it off to Ray Rice if he has to. I just expect the Ravens to win.
Okay. What do you think, Andy?
This is a game where I can't be rational about, and it'll be one of those scenarios where I'll be staring at my desk Monday afternoon trying to figure out how much I'm down and just seeing how seeing how much I'm down, seeing how got to hear what Mike Francesa will say about the game. I'll read the board, and I'll essentially just have a proverbial gun in my head and just make some decision. I agree with Tom how Revis, I can see how people well, maybe he shouldn't play, but he's been in the storyline all summer long. He has to play just because all the Jet fans want to see him play. They expect him to play. He signed for all that money. He has to play. But it's an intriguing storyline because Rex Ryan has history with Baltimore. You know, Baltimore, as Dupp would say, is a now team, as are the Jets, as many people would believe. And it's on a Monday night. You know, we're the effing Jets, hard knock scenario. It'll be interesting. I have no clue which way the game's going to go.
Okay, how about John?
I'm kind of with Andy. I'm up in the air on this game. I'll probably the same thing. I'll be counting my losses Monday morning, and then just gun to my head, I'll make a decision. It really is evenly matched. I'd lean the Ravens just because I don't think the Jets are going to be any good on offense again this year. I think Sanchez is going to struggle, and then as you guys talked about, the Ravens added plenty of talent. Houshmandzadeh, Bolden had a nice draft. So, I mean, I'd lean the Ravens as of right now, but depending on how things go, that could definitely change by Monday night. Maybe some of the fine Jets fans can convince me otherwise.
And it's possible to convince us otherwise through the phone number, 424-258-9251. We'll sidestep for a second, take a break, and when we return, we'll talk about what happened on Monday night between Boise State and Virginia Tech and go into the college football scene as a whole. We'll be back. This is Dave in the City.
I know that we are young, and I know that she may love me, but I just can't be with you like this anymore. Alejandro.
Back in the City on Lock of the Week Radio. I'm Dave Medina with you and with Andy in Seattle, Tom in Jersey, and John in Connecticut all joining us tonight talking football for a Wednesday night. And you can reach us at 424-258-9251. And now to the subject of college football. In what we saw as a riveting college football game on Monday night between Boise State and Virginia Tech, John saw the game. And obviously it was exciting. Do you think Boise State has the talent and the wherewithal to do this? Go to the championship?
We actually just talked about this on the show we recorded earlier tonight, and definitely, why not? I mean, they have the athletes. They have the Heisman contender at quarterback, Kellen Moore. I mean, I know their schedule is weak. The WAC is pretty bad. Fresno and Nevada are decent teams, but, I mean, they're not anything noteworthy. Vatek's a big win, and they're going to get to play Oregon State, which is another BCS school later on in the month. But, I mean, a lot of these schools, like, say, Florida, for example, the schedule argument is pretty overhyped. I mean, Florida's going to play Alabama and LSU, and then, I mean, the rest of the SEC isn't that great. I mean, I think the schedule argument is a little blown out of proportion, but it really is going to make for an interesting debate if, say, Alabama goes 13-0, Ohio State's 12-1, and Boise is 12-0. I mean, what do you do in that scenario? Do you put Boise in over Ohio State? I mean, I don't know. I personally would, just to break up the, you know, the good old boys network, and, you know, get some real interesting scenario for the national title game. But I could see why you would want to keep Boise out too. It's a catch 22 scenario.
Yeah, schedule is going to be a problem all year, no question.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could totally see, imagine if Boise State and Ohio State had the same record, but they put in Alabama and they screw over Ohio State. What would the Big Ten do then? Imagine that happens. Because then, I seriously think, then we'll start getting some serious talk about playoffs then. If the Big Ten team gets screwed, then I think heads are going to roll.
Yeah, you have in a big spot return just going, why the heck did my Ohio State team get left out of the mix? But Boise State is, they're going to have to take care of business against Oregon State. That's a showcase game. And then they're just going to have to burp, look sexy against the rest of the WAC, because they're all going to be games where they'll be favored anywhere between 21 or even like 35 points. I mean, they're going to play Toledo. Toledo lost 41-2 to Arizona. I think Boise State's better than Arizona, but that spread's going to be high. And they're going to play the likes of San Jose State that just got their doors blown open against Alabama, and they're going to get killed by Wisconsin. That's tough. San Jose State's got a tough schedule. Like, there's a difference between taking a paycheck and then just, like, conceding the entire season. But, yeah, Boise State's going to just have to kill every team by 21, 28 points, and then in the meantime, they're going to need one of those schools from the SEC or Big 12, Big 10 to lose once or twice.
You know, one other thing they're going to need in addition to that is they're going to need Virginia Tech to have a very good season, because if they get blown out in the game, particularly by a ranked team, that could be a real problem for – I think it could be a real problem for Boise State. Do you agree with that? Start with John on this one.
Yeah, definitely. Vitek has a tough schedule, too. I think they have to play Miami. They have to play North Carolina. They have to play Georgia Tech. They have to play – you know, Virginia is not a tough game, but I mean, they really have three or four really tough games. I could see them finishing with, you know, four losses, and that really would hurt Boise's strength of schedule. So I'm interested to see what happens.
I was just going to say, can't you see Boise State, like, one of these games in conference and just, like, half-assing it and ending up winning by, like, only like 7 to 10 points, and it ends up costing them just from the numbers alone, you know? I could totally see that happening. They're not gonna lose, but I could see them only winning by 7 or 10 points. Are they gonna get up every week and get into it, you know?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
It's a tough spot, no question. Let's go into the other teams at the top of the rankings. Let's look, Alabama and, let's see if I recall correctly, is it Florida? But Alabama is certainly number one right now, rightfully they should be. They have a game against Penn State. We know that Ingram is out of the game, but we also know that they have a backup that should be equally as good. It's a big game this week, and I think it could be the best of the bunch. Do you see any chance of Penn State upsetting Alabama in this situation? Andy, I'll let you go first.
A resounding no. Joe Paterno can't even tie his own shoes right now. I'm sorry, that'll be a recurring theme. Karma be damned. He's an old man. I know he's an easy target, but so is Bobby Bowden. And he's old. He is to call him a figurehead would be insulting to the word figurehead. He needs to go clean house. People don't go to Penn State to play for Joe Paterno anymore. And we saw his team against Les Miles, not exactly an X and O genius himself, barely beat an LSU team by 2 points. And that was a Penn State team that had experience. And Penn State, they were up by a point late in the second quarter last week. They ended up winning like by 30 points or something like that. But they have an inexperienced quarterback playing against Nick Saban. You want to call Nick Saban a greaseball, a liar and a thief. He might be. Give him a hard time for leaving Miami. But you can definitely coach as well as you can recruit. And it's going to be the spread's 11.5. I think they should win by 21, 17, something like that. So I just mushed Alabama.
John, do you have any thoughts?
I think Penn State is they're solid as usual, but I just think the freshman quarterback scenario heading down into Tuscaloosa on a Saturday night it's going to be a tough chore. Bama's defense will probably smother them. 11.5 is a lot of points, so I don't know if I'll be hypothetically wagering on this game with Alabama, but I definitely think Bama's going to win, no question about it.
Okay, Tom.
I have nothing to add. I was just going to ask if is there going to be another game on, or is that the only game? Because I'm thinking it's going to be a blowout too. Is that the only game?
Well, no, it's not the only game on there. Obviously, at that time.
Well,
I mean, it's a big game. It's not the only game on the schedule. Let's not forget about Michigan and Notre Dame, which is, I'm sure, one that's true to your heart there, Tom. What do you think about that?
I'm worried, dude. I'm really worried about the Michigan quarterback, the kid. I'm really worried. He chewed up John's team. John, you can have your thoughts about that game. You can chime in at any moment.
Yeah, I was building up my Huskies all summer, and they just completely go out and lay an egg in the big house. I was quite disappointed. It's no secret that I guess now it is. Well, it hasn't been, but Edsel just, he's a great coach, and I love having him here at UConn, but he just cannot scheme against the spread offense, and it's been proven time and time again, and it was proven again on Saturday that he just can't do it. So in some ways I wasn't shocked. I mean, I've seen people saying, oh, UConn doesn't have the talent. That's a bunch of crap, all right? They have, 3 years ago when they played West Virginia, they didn't have the talent to match up. They lost 66-17 or something like that. It was just a complete demolition. Saturday, they were a fumble away from getting right back into the game. I don't know. That's my mini rant on that game on Saturday. I was very disappointed, but the Big East sucks this year, so I think UConn will be in the mix for the conference title, which is about all I can hope for. Maybe we can redeem ourselves later down the road, maybe possibly get into a BCS bowl.
I'm shocked that you just said the Big East sucks. I'm shocked you just said that. Of all the people to say that, you said that. I'm shocked. And I give you mad props for saying that, because you come across on the board as one of the biggest Big East Mongos. So I'm shocked you said that.
Well, I mean, I'm a Mongo to a certain extent. And the facts, you know, back me up, I'm a Mongo. But they had four atrocious games this weekend. UConn got killed at Michigan. Cincinnati goes up 14-0 at Fresno and then just completely forgets how to run an offense. Which Jones is no Brian Kelly, I'll tell you that much. Cincinnati is going to be in for a long year. Rutgers is up 6-0 at halftime to Norfolk State and barely puts them away in the second half. I mean, it was just an atrocious weekend.
I mean, I know one weekend doesn't make the season, but early returns are is the Big East just sucks this year. So that's why I have hope for UConn. Not to mention the game we all followed on Thursday, Pitt losing at Utah. And, I mean, no one wastes a talented team like Dave Wannstedt, and this year looks like to be no different. They're pretty talented, but, you know, the quarterback is young, and I just see him costing them a couple games with his conservative play calling and such.
And I'd like to bring up something about Michigan football, if that's okay.
Go for it.
Because we have, at themikefrancesa.com, we have members that are fans of all sorts of teams all around the country, and there are definitely a couple Michigan people in the mix. And maybe we need one of them to chime in, call, give us the answer if any of you guys don't know. But they had a quarterback by the name of Ryan Mallett, and he transferred, and all of a sudden he has, like, preseason SEC credentials. Like, so I don't know, was he just not a Rich Rodriguez guy? He just didn't click up in Ann Arbor, or what? Anybody, any of you guys know?
And if it's the Mallett can run the spread. He can't run that option offense like
which
is Denard Robinson.
I did not know
that.
Come on, Andy.
It was a simple question. It was a bad question.
This is supposed to be a podcast for sports fans, not people who don't know anything.
Well, coaching players should be able to find a common ground rather than you go your way, I go my way. But, hey, it is what it is.
And let's go into the game in earnest, though. We have it does look like a pretty, it could be a very good game, at least it could be competitive as far as the matchup between Michigan and Notre Dame. Notre Dame is obviously not the fastest team in the universe, but Michigan has that quarterback. We've obviously seen some of him. It's going to be at Notre Dame. Check me if I'm wrong with that. So that will give Notre Dame a little bit of an edge, but do you still see Michigan as a favorite?
Well, what's the spread? Isn't it 6?
Checking on that.
Notre Dame's favored by 4.
4, what did it open at? Did it open at 6? Maybe my sources are wrong. Give me the book.
I don't know what it opened at.
Give me the book.
I think it's 4. It's holding steady at 4. I'm a clown. I've already gone on record. Apologies to the Michigan fans. I'm taking them getting the point. So, you know, John and Georgia, V-Tread, and Pitch and Catch can all start getting in the conga line. And those that root for Michigan, well, we'll see.
Yass is going to punch you in the face. He is going to level you.
Well, I thought of the kid.
The kid,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I personally, if you ask me, and this is, I'm Dave. This is you just heard. I believe Andy, Tom's in the mix, and also John in Connecticut, who's also known as Checker, here in the City Locks of the Week Radio. We're talking Michigan Notre Dame, and I think I want to give it to Michigan. I just think they're a more athletic team right now, and even though it's on the road, I get the impression that they are the better team now. But I don't have a very extensive knowledge as you all do of college football. But can you speak to the athletic qualities of either team? I'll start with John on this one.
I really didn't get to see much of the Purdue-Notre Dame matchup on Saturday. I thought it was low scoring. Obviously, it's going to take a while for Brian Kelly to get his offense implemented. I would have to say right now, though, Michigan has the more talented team. But Kelly is one of the best coaches in America, so I wouldn't put it past him to cook something up for this game. So, but to answer your question, I would definitely think Michigan is the more talented team between these two.
Don't sleep on Notre Dame's tight end. He's really good, and obviously you have the wide receiver too. And I like the kid quarterback against Purdue. I know you're crying at that time, Checker, and you weren't watching the game, but he was really impressive. I think, what was he? He threw for over 200 yards. I think he was about 21 for 26. He had a good game. So,
yeah, Dane Crip, he played well. Yeah, but I don't know. And yes, I was crying in the corner for a couple hours after that game, just to let it be known.
Andy?
Well, small sample size. I probably saw maybe 10 snaps of Purdue Notre Dame. And I saw maybe like a quarter and a half of the UConn-Michigan game. I liked what I saw out of Michigan, whether it was running the ball, passing the ball. I mean, I know UConn's supposed to have a really good defense, and they gave up 30 points. But, I mean, I know I had UConn in that game, too, so I'll be a little sour grape myself. That game could have been a lot different if they didn't have a loaf of bread or a blocked field goal. But, I mean, the kid at quarterback had, like, 350 all-purpose yards or something like that. I mean, him alone, he's a one-man band. So, you know, go Wolverines.
Now, Andy, let me chime in for a second. Andy, you said you were watching the UConn game for a quarter and a half, and you barely watched the Notre Dame game. So what the hell were you watching?
I was playing tennis, like, somewhere in between, like, those games. Call me a clown. It was a nice day.
That's what? Like Chris Russo. That's totally Chris Russo, what you just did. You're not watching college football, and instead you're playing tennis. That's an atrocious job by you.
The games were on all day. I came home, and I was able to watch the Huskies lay an egg. You know, that's the Washington Huskies, not the UConn ones. And the nighttime game, LSU-UNC, Wisconsin-UNLV. And in the morning, I got to see the majority of that Florida Miami, Ohio games. You have to listen. I was going to drop an F bomb. I'm a clown. Sundays, just a couch potato. I have to do something on Saturday, just to like get the heart rate going a little bit. Jeez, it's not like you weren't glued to your baby step for 12 hours on Saturday either. No one is.
I was in Baltimore. You clown.
Let
me interrupt you guys really quickly. This is Dave in the City on Lots of Leak Radio, even though, you know, you're not hearing much of me tonight. We have Andy in Seattle with us. We have Tom in Jersey with us. We have John in Connecticut with us. And we're looking at college football as a whole. I mean, you know, the point is, before we sidetracked all the other stuff, was that you see a lot of potential with both Michigan and Notre Dame. And one other team that I wanted to just transition to really quickly was Miami, and I really like their quarterback there, and I think that when they have a game coming up against Ohio State, the Ohio State University, not going to be easy, obviously, but I've been wondering myself, do you guys think that Miami can cover the 9-point spread? Let's start with Tom.
Yeah, I guess they could, but I'm kind of a Miami fan, like Aurelius on the board, but I don't watch them that often because I don't have the package like John Wood does or anyone else on the board. But I think Miami could cover the spread. I like the quarterback a lot, like you said. Running back's pretty good, too. But Ohio State's defense is so tough, so.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Let's go to John for the next opinion.
I'm going to say a resounding no. I think Miami is incredibly overrated. It's all media hype. They want Miami to be good, so they, you know, they get a pretty decent quarterback. I like Harris. He's, you know, he's not terrible, but I just don't see it. I don't like Shannon as a coach. They haven't won a big game in years. I think they're incredibly overrated, and they're going to get stuffed in the horseshoe on Saturday afternoon. I think Ohio State's going to win this game, 30-13 or something like that. You know, Tressel is pretty conservative, so that does scare you a little bit. But I think Miami is incredibly overrated, and it's going to be proven in this game on Saturday afternoon.
All right, Andy.
Well, if you look at last year's Rose Bowl, Ohio State kind of proved or just kind of shunned the notion that Jim Tressel is conservative in a big spot, though he has been many, many times. Those that had Oregon looked like fools because Troy Smith Terrell Pryor had a great game and ran up and down the field. As for this game against Miami, I like Jacory Harris a lot. I can't help but be subjective and kind of lean toward Miami getting all those points. But that being said, it's on the road. Both teams played in fierce competition last week, so it's no mirror images, how do you judge them scenario, which one do we do? I have a feeling that Miami will have a chance to cover. Maybe they'll be down like 13 points halfway through the fourth quarter, and they'll come up short. Maybe Harris throws a big interception deep in
Buckeye territory or something like that. And those that have Miami will just whimper.
All right. This is Dave in the City, Lon Locks of the Week Radio. Again, the tag team tonight is Andy in Seattle, Tom in Jersey, and we have John in Connecticut. The tri-state area is covered as well as Washington, not Washington, D.C., but Washington State. Well, we're getting near the end of the program. Do you have any final thoughts, not just about football, but just in general, for our hour tonight? I'll start with John because he was so kind to call in. What do you say, John?
I really don't have much to say. I'm really looking forward to the game tomorrow. Hopefully the Saints will do us all a favor and knock Brett Favre into oblivion so we don't have to see him anymore. And if they don't, I mean, hopefully he'll throw a couple of interceptions because, you know, he'll be just having some fun out there, as we all know.
Oh, man, that's going to be a great game to watch. I mean, for that reason, because, I mean, a lot of people have really built up this, really, this anti-Favre thing, and there's no question. I'm probably a charter member of that. You are too, John. I'm hoping that he gets knocked on his ass too. No doubt about it. Okay. How about let's go to Tom. Final thoughts?
I just want to give a shout out to Junkie, if he's listening. Just want to say hello to the Godfather. Want to say hello to the Godfather. That's it. Go ahead, Andy.
I don't really have anything to add. I'm glad football is here. Looking forward to Francesca's first football Friday. Like he says, we'll have all the fixings, all the trimmings from 1 to 6:30. You know, whether Aikman's stuck in traffic or Sims is calling. Whatever happens on Friday will happen on Sunday morning. And I guess I'm the sucker for tuning in at both times. And you will all listen to my picks. We'll have Sports Pope document his college and NFL picks because he always has the YouTube going on, and those that listen to his picks closely will be able to go back to the tape and say, because he likes to flip up the numbers, he'll be 9-7, but then he'll say he was 10-6, and you pick up on that. So I'm looking forward to seeing how much of the number bogusing he does.
All right.
Andy, real quick. Is his show, is anyone actually pumped up for his show on Sunday morning? You remember last year everybody was pumped up for it? Is anyone actually pumped up for this show? It's atrocious.
Listen for unintentional comedy, and, you know, the early risers on the board will be in the mix, and everyone laughs at his jumpsuit, or the time that he did the show from his house, and you had all the beeps, and they put up a paper plate next to his seat, and they drew a smiley face. You know, I don't know if that was Sloppy Eddie or whoever was in Blue Heaven on that Sunday, but I'll definitely be watching the first month of the season. If it gets tedious or too much Yankee baseball on a football Sunday, then there are other options, you know.
No doubt. Just final word for me. You know, I heard, I just want to wish John continued success on the Football Pick'em podcast. It's a great venture. I'll be sure to listen to your show tonight. And, again, I know where to go when I want to listen to the picks. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dave. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, too. All right. And then to the rest of you, thank you very much for joining us as well. And we hope you have a great night, everyone. All right, well, that's it for our show today. We will end it at that. Thanks again for joining us. We hope that wasn't too much of a train wreck, but it was definitely a lot of fun, so thanks again. Be good to yourselves. Have a great night, and we'll see you next time. one last thing I wanted to bring up to you all, if you're still listening. We got greetings in from our own friend Bronson Tran, the B-Tran, here in the Presidio Lots of Week Radio. This comes in via message. He wants to send his, B-Tran sends his best to all of you, and be sure to watch the Niners and the Kings, Sacramento Kings, this season. It could be a good show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great night, and we'll be back right here next week. So long, everyone.